WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Okay, I think it's panic time, folks. I think it is panic time for the Detroit Tigers. Oh, boy. I just can't believe that now they have now salvaged the lead to the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the panic meter for the Detroit Tigers on today's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. We will also bring Joey Eisenman, who is the co-director of now formerly Snap Fitness, he is now changing the name in there, moving to a new facility, and the name is going to be called Spartan Performance. You don't want to miss that. Joey Eisenman will join me in studio. Also, Top 5 Tuesday will be right at you, and also we'll be talking a little golf. And do you think Tiger Woods should make the Ryder Cup? Interesting stuff. We'll have all of that and so much more, but hey, it's custom here on the show. Here is Alex Shark with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Tuesday, August 12th. The Detroit Tigers' skid continued last night as they were beaten by the Pittsburgh Pirates 11-6 on the road. Justin Verlander exited Monday night's loss after one inning with shoulder soreness. He gave up 5 runs in the first and what he had called the worst stuff in his career and what became the shortest start of his career. He will have an MRI today. On the other hand, Kansas City replaced the Tigers atop the division by a half game with a 3-2 win over Oakland Monday night. The Royals have now won 8 games in a row. Time to panic for Tigers fans? We'll debate today on the show. Top recruit Eric Davis of Arthur Hill came one step closer to making a decision about his future when the standout guard limited his list of suitors to 7. Davis, who had been offered by more than 24 schools, narrowed his list down to Michigan State, Michigan, Texas, UCLA, UNLV, North Carolina State, and Kentucky in no particular order. He averaged 27 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals a game for the Saginaw Valley League champion Lumberjacks while being named the Class A Player of the Year. News has came out today that NASCAR driver Kevin Ward Jr. died of blunt force trauma when he was hit by Tony Stewart at a dirt track race in upstate New York. Ontario County Sheriff Philip Pavero says the autopsy was completed on Monday. Authorities questioned Stewart on Saturday night and went to Watkins Glen to talk to him again on Sunday. Pavero said yesterday that there were no plans at this time to talk to him again. U.S. Captain Tom Watson said he would be foolish not to consider Tiger Woods as one of his 3 wildcard selections for the Ryder Cup, a decision that ultimately would be based on Woods' words instead of his actions. Watson has said all year that he wanted Woods on his team if he were healthy and playing well. Even though Woods is injured and not playing for the next month, Watson could not rule him out Monday. 9 players qualified for the American team after the PGA Championship. Watson has 3 weeks before he announces his 3 picks for the Ryder Cup, which is September 26th to 28th in Scotland. Soccer star David Silva has signed a 5-year contract with Manchester City, which will keep him locked up until the summer of 2019. The 28-year-old joined in 2010 and helped end a 35-year trophy drought by winning the FA Cup final. He won 3 consecutive Player of the Month awards and played in all of the World Cup games for Spain. Bellevue Police and Washington State are investigating NFL running back Marshawn Lynch for possible assault and personal property damage. This isn't his first run-in with police, as Lynch pled guilty to a misdemeanor gun charge in 2012 and also a reckless driving charge years back. Lynch just ended his holdout weeks back with the Seahawks and began participating in camp. In each of his 3 seasons, he has tallied more than 1,200 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns, and over 300 touches. The NFL has suspended Dallas Cowboys running back Orlando Scandrick for the first 4 games of the season as he failed a drug test. Scandrick tested positive for ecstasy, also known as Molly, in April, and the league rendered its decision Monday after appeal. He will lose approximately $1 million through 4 missed game checks. And finally, in more NFL news, Tanya Singleton, cousin of former NFL player Aaron Hernandez, was sentenced to 2 years probation and 1 year of home confinement after pleading guilty to criminal contempt on Tuesday. Singleton had been charged after refusing to testify before a grand jury about details surrounding the murder of Odin Lloyd. She originally pleaded not guilty to the charge. And those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Tuesday, August 12th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. The lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Really appreciate that. Again, our phone lines are open. If you want to talk about anything that is on your sports noggin, you know that number. Yes, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We have quite the show in store for you all. Again, our Top 5 Tuesday, each and every Tuesday, we debate about a Top 5 sports topic here on the show. And right now, folks, it's the most alarming news in the state of Michigan right now. Of course, the Detroit Tigers, expectations are through the roof. It's World Series or bust this year for this team. And yesterday, with the loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates, as you just heard from Alex and our headliners, the Detroit Tigers have given up the lead in the American League Central Division to the Kansas City Royals, who are the hottest team in baseball right now. They have won 8 straight, folks. So now the Tigers find themselves a half game in back of the Royals and fighting now for their lives. So our Top 5 Tuesday centers on the Detroit Tigers, and we're asking all of you to call in on whether or not you are panicking right now. Are you panicking and are you worried about the Detroit Tigers' future? And do you think they can pull out and salvage their season as it now goes on and it will end up eventually possibly winning the American League Central? So I want to get your thoughts on that, and we'll give you our thoughts on the Tigers and give you the top five reasons why you should or shouldn't panic over the Detroit Tigers right now. So you don't want to miss that. And we'll also talk a little golf, as we didn't get to Rory McIlroy, who had quite the outing over the weekend, winning his third straight championship. The first time he's, you know, somebody has won on the tour, three straight tournaments since Tiger Woods did so. Rory winning the PGA Championship over the weekend. And we'll talk about just where he ranks now. And is he the new face of golf? So we'll talk about that. And also Tiger Woods. Do you think he deserves to make the Ryder Cup? As you just heard in our headliners again, you know, Bubba Watson is still considering Woods for the Ryder Cup team. Do you think he deserves and should make that team? So we'll talk about that as well. And also Orlando Scandrick. How about Orlando Scandrick, huh? Oh, boy. I tell you, this drug Molly, Alex, is really taking headway. And you're starting to see a lot of athletes get involved with it, Orlando being one of those athletes. He was caught in a drug test using that drug and has now been suspended 4 games by the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll talk about that and so much more, folks. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know what? While I was at home, doing a little work from home yesterday, I had just walked in the door on my laptop, had my TV going on, and, you know, just on my laptop perusing through Twitter and whatnot. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I went on Twitter, and it flashed across. Somebody had retweeted a tweet from, I forget the publication, but it alluded to Robin Williams, the famous actor Robin Williams, who I grew up on, many of us grew up on, countless hits. He's an Oscar winner for Good Will Hunting. It flashed across my screen that Robin Williams had passed away, sadly. I didn't believe it at first. I had to check multiple outlets. Immediately went to CNN.com, MSNBC, and perused Twitter some more, and found it to be true. Robin Williams had passed away due to an apparent suicide yesterday. Sad, sad news. Again, it's just, you know, we always talk about, you know, going beyond the X's and O's here on Current Sports. This is one of those stories that certainly do. Now, Robin, of course, he really had no affiliation in the sports world, but he touched the lives of so, so many. Again, he was definitely a part of my childhood with movies like Flubber and Jumanji, and you know, I can go on and on and on. He was definitely beloved, and throughout today's Current Sports, Alex will be playing some music from some of his most famous movies. So, I think I speak for all of us when we say rest in peace, Robin. He will certainly be missed. All right. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Certainly excited to have him on the show. He is certainly a friend of Current Sports and WKAR in general. He is the co-director of Now, which was once Snap, which is now it's taken a whole new turn here, folks. They're bringing a new vibe, a new name, a new facility entitled Spartan Performance. He is the co-director of Spartan Performance, Joey Eisenman. We had him on back in March. Joey, welcome to the show once again.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely excited to talk about the new facility and the new digs that you guys will be moving to. First of all, I got to ask Joey, I mean, you guys making this move, why did you guys decide to relocate to the IDE building now? How did this whole thing come about?
So we actually, we were in the IDE building. We were located on the fourth floor. We were co-located with physical therapy. That was a great setting for us because across the hall was MSU Sports Medicine, who they're colleagues of ours. We collaborate on different programs and projects. But again, we were co-located sharing the same space as MSU Physical Therapy. Mm-hmm. And we outgrew that space very quickly. So currently we're serving probably 100 to 125 athletes on a weekly basis who train anywhere between 1 and 3 times a week at our facility. So again, we outgrew that space. So we're going to be in the same building. So we're in the IDE building, the 6-story building with the blue lights on it.
Right.
We're going to be on the first floor, and we have about 4,200 square feet to work with. I just came from there. It's an incredible energy and vibe when you walk in. These young athletes are going to be walking into a facility that looks and feels like a Division I sports training facility. There's wall murals of local athletes, motivational sayings on the wall, and then, of course, our state-of-the-art equipment and technology that we use to train young athletes in a holistic, integrated approach.
So, Joey, in comparison to the floor that you guys were located on, the IDE building, compared to the first floor, I mean, how many more feet are we talking now with space?
Well, again, we shared the space. So,
right.
You know, at that, where we are right now, as of today, there are young athletes that are training, and, you know, we have one treadmill there that's, you know, stuck in a corner, so to speak.
Right.
And we have our plyometrics floor. We have a very small agility area. And again, we're sharing the space. So from time to time, you have, you know,
you bump heads.
Well, you have sometimes you have an older grandmother walking across the physical therapy floor with her stroller through the agility area. So she is an obstacle as well.
Oh, gotcha. Right, right.
So it's hard to really quantify the exact number of square feet that we had on the fourth floor because we shared the space. But,
right.
You know, in general, we're probably, you know, tripling our space, and it's solely dedicated for our purposes of training young athletes. And doing testing with them, providing educational information on nutrition, mental skills, hosting coach education conferences, and also my academic colleagues from across the world who do research on in pediatric exercise medicine.
Wow, gotta love. So you just tripled your size now, moving to the first floor. That's an unbelievable, huge upgrade, if you will, Joey. And when you talk about the upgrades for this facility now, which is on the first floor, as you just mentioned, what upgrades are we talking about?
So upgrades include a conference room, a conference center, which we now can use for team education or group education for nutrition or mental skills, or providing one-on-one consultations with a state-of-the-art video facility as well in there. We're also going to have an athlete lounge. So if you've ever been to, you know, Duffy, you walk in,
yeah.
And the football players, they have their lounge. And if you go to Breslin, they have their lounge. Well, our young athletes are going to have their own lounge. That lounge is going to have a television in. And we've also just signed an agreement with United Dairy Industry of Michigan. So every young athlete who comes through our facility will get chocolate milk when they complete their training session. So it's part of the recovery process.
Oh, I love chocolate milk. That's great stuff.
But it's a cool little place for the kids to hang out, you know, prepare for their training session, maybe do their homework.
Yeah.
Because there's that academic piece as well, right?
Right, exactly. That's important.
And to be able to use that space to stretch and do some recovery activities in. And then when you go out into the training facility, you know, we're going to have 2 of our high-speed treadmills, 2 pieces of a machine that we call a hip X, a multi-hip machine, 2 of what we call a jump X, is a lower body strength training thing. Our plyometric floor is doubled in size. We now have the opportunity to run 20-yard acceleration sprints in the facility. We have a larger agility area, and we also have a research and testing laboratory in the space as well. So it's greatly enhanced
for
the young athletes and the coaches and parents that we serve.
That sounds great. That sounds unbelievable, Joey. Yeah. Now, when you talk about the name change, I mean, you guys are going now from Snap to Spartan Performance. How did that come about, and why did you choose Spartan Performance?
Well, so Snap stood for Spartan Nutrition and Performance Program, which is a mouthful.
It is.
So we went simple and bold, Spartan Performance. Nutrition is still part of performance, and we still do sports nutrition for the athletes here at Michigan State University.
Right.
So that is, you know, I guess you could look at it as a big umbrella term.
Right.
You know, Spartan Nutrition and Performance Program, where what we're doing at the Eide Building is focusing on sports performance. And again, nutrition is part of that, but we want to keep it simple and bold. So we're Spartan Performance, and what goes on with MSU athletics is still, you know, sports nutrition. So.
Oh, gotta love that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking to the co-director of, as you just heard, Spartan Performance. Now, I gotta ask you, Joey, we had you on the show, we had you on a TV show back in March, talking about the growth, and you just kind of alluded to it, you know, now, I mean, you guys outgrew that space, which is why you had to make this move to the first floor of the Eide Building. As far as the growth is for Spartan Performance now, how big have you guys grown since the last time we talked in numbers?
We've probably doubled the number of athletes that we've seen. And not only that, but we have a lot more high schools, teams, schools, clubs who are contacting us to provide some type of service. So again, our services are very broad. Like when I explain our services to people, I let them know that we can do anything under the sun related to testing, training, or energizing young athletes.
Right.
So some clubs, you know, Chill Soccer in town, they're going to do sports nutrition for all 500 soccer players in their association. There's other high schools. We were just at St. John's High School, Jackson Lumen Christi, you know, other high schools around the area doing sports nutrition for them. So
you guys go on location to these schools as well?
We do. So not only, you know, we provide our facility for individual training, which most of the kids will come and do at our facility, but we open our facility to team training as well. Or we do go on site as well. So for example, there's another large soccer club out of the Detroit area that they come to the Lansing area and they draw kids from all over the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And we go on site, to do testing of those, 200 soccer players. And then we do training as well. So we take our stuff on the road, so to speak, and we go out and we train them as well. So we just customize packages. Again, our big thing is, you know, we are here for young athletes, parents and coaches related to sports performance, pediatric exercise medicine.
That's unbelievable stuff. So you guys take the equipment on site. What type of equipment are we talking here, and what kind of testing do you do? Let's just say for that soccer team, what kind of testing did you guys do on them?
Yeah, so for the testing, you know, we're trying to get metrics, values that, you know, the coaches can use, that the kids can use as well to see where they're at, to set goals for their particular age group. So we did, you know, standard combine testing, so to speak. So if you watch the NFL combine, you know, we'll do a 40-yard dash, and we have electronic timing gates. We're not using handheld stopwatches. So,
right.
Again, that's part of the technology piece as well as our state-of-the-art technology that we use for testing and assessment.
Yeah.
So we'll do, you know, an agility testing. We do, you know, lower body power testing, so vertical jump, long jump. We'll also provide a nutrition survey and mental skill survey as well. So we get, again, our big thing is a holistic approach to athlete development. So not just the physical attributes of it, but the nutrition side of it, and then also how they think when they practice and when they play as well.
Right, right.
But again, we can customize testing, you know, for basketball or for football or other sports as well. We do some sport-specific things in there as well. So for example, with a local volleyball club, actually Lansing Community College, you know, we did spiking velocity for them. We did
spiking velocity. How do you go about testing
it? Just using a radar gun.
Really? You guys have a radar gun that can just measure the angle and the speed and all that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You have to be pretty agile yourself so you don't get hit in the head when the ball's coming at you as well.
right. Got to dodge it as you're holding the radar gun.
Exactly.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool stuff. Yeah. So what else did you guys test with the volleyball team?
So again, the typical speed-related stuff, but we shortened it up because, you know, volleyball, a 40-yard dash doesn't make a lot of sense because they're never really running 40 yards.
Exactly.
So we did 5 and a 10-yard, where it's really showing that acceleration, that short burst, you know, how quick they can react and get out of the gate, so to speak, and cover 5 yards and 10 yards.
Right.
Agility, and of course, you know, vertical jump, there's different approaches in volleyball. You know, if they're doing a two-hand block or doing their three- or four-step approach, to the net. So we tested them on that. Some upper body strength measures, some core stability measures.
Right.
And then again, we get complete medical history on them as well, working with their athletic training staff as well.
Right.
So again, that's part of our holistic approach as well, is getting everybody involved. And we've actually created something really unique at Lansing Community College, what we call a sports performance enhancement group.
Mm-hmm.
So we have myself, we have one of our sports nutrition individuals, we have a sports psychologist, and then
right.
we have the coaching staff, and then a medical personnel. So in their case, it's their athletic trainer. And we get together and we look at all the metrics on that young, on the athletes on their team.
Wow.
So it's looking at it from a medical perspective, a physical perspective, a nutrition perspective, and a psychological perspective. And then, of course, the tactical and technical perspective that the coaches bring.
Yeah.
Trying
yeah.
to enhance that athlete's, overall ability in the sport. And that's actually something that you're seeing at some major universities across the country as well. So Stanford and Oregon, they're putting in place these type of programs as well. And, hopefully in the near future, it happens at Michigan State as well.
Yeah, definitely. And, you talk about the psychological perspective, because I think the mind plays so much into the world of sports. I mean, certain moments where, you got to go to the line and hit a free throw. There's a lot of pressure on you, or a certain moment where you're down by a touchdown. There's minutes on the clock. Do you guys dive into that aspect as well? How do you test the psychological health of an athlete?
So there's several surveys that can be used. So we get an idea about how they think when they practice
mm-hmm.
and when they compete, because sometimes those can be different things as well. That's why we have practice players and then game players
that's
as well.
That's so true.
We want them to be able to turn on those mental skills in practice and in a game.
Yeah.
So we test for that. But, a key, like you were really getting at what we call relaxation under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, at our training facility, and when we take our show on the road and we train teams, out on a court or out on a field, we always end the session with nutrition and mental skills. So we have what we call modules or handouts, basically, right? A one-page handout, a module. It's a key concept.
Right, right.
So we have about 6 to 8 of them on nutrition and about 6 of them on mental skills. And relaxation under pressure is one of them. So we go over with the athlete, what is relaxation under pressure? When have you been in this type of situation? And what can you do to improve upon this aspect of your mental game?
Right.
We have 12, 13, 14-year-olds in our facility, and they'll come back and they'll say, hey, those tips that you taught us about relaxation under pressure? Man, they really work. it was the seventh inning, and the bases were loaded, and I was up next. And so I did, I did some visualization, I did some deep breathing, and, positive self-talk. And the kid got a base hit, right?
Get out of here. So that's what I wanted to ask. I mean, in those situations, what do you tell them? So you tell them positive self-talk, some heavy breathe. I'm going to use that next time I need to, sink an 8-foot putt to win the match against Alex then.
There you go.
That's great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we are talking with the co-director of Spartan Performance, Joey Eisenman. Well, I tell you what, when looking at this whole thing, Joey, it's certainly not just you, that's really putting on this thing and promoting it. You have an incredible team behind you as well, I'm sure. Talk a little bit about them and talk about the team you have working with you on this incredible endeavor.
Yeah, we do have an incredible team. I hope I just remember to, comment on everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I think first and foremost, it starts with the administration. So I'm in the Department of Radiology. So our department chairs, Tom Cooper and Tres Mukherjee, have been very supportive in this mission. From there, colleagues in sports medicine, Dr. Kovan, Dr. Dietzel, Dr. Scorfar, Dr. Norris, all those sport med docs who work with the MSU athletes as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been great colleagues. They've promoted what we do and also helped us on certain programs. So, for example, we have a ACL injury return to play program. We have a throwing injury return to play program. So kids who have undergone ACL surgery or shoulder surgery, they go through physical therapy. They're really not ready to play yet.
Right.
So we have a return to play program that the sport med physicians have been incredible to work with related to those programs, along with the director of MSU Rehab Medicine, Mary Thiel, and her staff.
That's fantastic. So you guys deal with athletes who go through a heinous injury and need to come back, on the court. Because that can certainly be a struggle. That's not only a physical struggle, but that can be a mental struggle as well. And you guys actually hit on that area as well.
Exactly.
There's nothing you guys don't cover.
Yeah. Again, it's that holistic, integrated approach as well.
Right.
So, probably another person who's very valuable here as the person who really runs the show day to day. Like, I get to come on the radio and talk to you, but he's back at the shop right now taking kids through training sessions, everything, and that's Drew Coker.
Right.
So Drew is our head sports performance specialist. He has more initials behind his name than anybody I know. He's a registered dietitian, a certified strength and conditioning coach. He has a master's degree in exercise physiology, but, you know, the most important thing there is, you know, Drew relates to the kids. Mm-hmm. Being a former athlete, college athlete himself, understanding what these kids are going through, what they're trying to accomplish. He just has a great rapport with the kids, but he also brings that great science background as well.
Right.
You know, in exercise physiology and in nutrition. So, yeah, Drew's invaluable to our team, along with some of our other staff, Taylor Copes, Deb Dillon, and, you know, our office manager is fantastic as well, Connie Benedict. Mm-hmm. She's the one who's answering the phones, you know, every day, you know, answering questions from people who, well, tell us about your program. Well, my son is in basketball and, you know, we want him to play Division I basketball or whatever. What kind of training should he be doing? What can you guys offer him? When should he train? All these questions. And Connie answers those questions on a daily basis and gets individuals enrolled.
Right. Oh,
so she's very valuable to our staff as well. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, and maybe we need to move on to the next question or something.
Oh, here. But that's great. But you get a lot of shout outs. And I mean, it's an unbelievable team that you have that is working on this incredible program. Joey, before we get you out of here, I definitely want to talk about this because, you know, a program like this becomes a hallmark in a community when you talk about local sports. And it shows kids that, hey, you know, because I feel as though there's a lot of kids out there, especially my little cousins who turn on. I remember I sat down and talked with one of my little cousins when the whole A-Rod PED scandal came out. He was an A-Rod fan. He had loved A-Rod growing up. And then something like this happens, and he's like, okay, so A-Rod's been taking drugs this entire time to go out there and enhance his performance. I'm like, yeah, I had to be real with him. I kind of told him what the drugs, you know, I tried to explain the best of my knowledge what the drugs do and how it's kind of really, you know, it's just infecting sports. You know, you see it all the time. It's hard not to turn on, you know, the television each and every season and not to hear at least one athlete using performance-enhancing drugs to enhance, you know, their skill level when they're out there playing on the court or the field or so on and so forth. But a program like this, Joey, the Spartan Performance Program that you guys have put together, is kind of showing kids that, hey, you know, the resources are out there to just do it the right way, to go out there, work your butt off, and enhance your skill the natural way. How important is that aspect to it for you?
It's very important. I think alluding to the, you know, ergogenic aids or performance enhancement supplements and whatnot, we really hit on that a lot. We actually have a module on supplements and energy drinks because they are so common in high school athletes and even younger athletes. So, you know, educating them on, you know, the research really doesn't play out on a lot of these supplements. You know,
they're
marketed very well. And then, of course, what happens is they see something about a pro athlete taking something and, oh, well, they take it, so it must be okay. And, hey, the guy who sits in the locker next to me, he's taking something as well, and I'm second on the depth chart, so I really should probably be doing something because there's a lot of that pressure as well. So, again, it really comes to education and providing some social support for him, I guess, as well from an expert level.
That is so, so true. All right, Joey, before we get you out of here, how can the public get involved? If there's a parent out there who says, okay, this sounds like a great program, I want to get my son or daughter involved, how can they do so, Joey?
I'd probably say first go to the website. Our website is very good. Again, that goes back to our team and Kevin Henley, who puts the website together, but it's snap.msu.edu. It tells all about our programs. There's a lot of videos on the website. We're actually trying to create videos on every page because people don't read, but they'll watch a video.
That's so true.
So it's going to be video based. If you want to call Connie and talk to Connie about our programs, you can call 884-6133. And probably the best way to learn about us is this Sunday, we're having a grand opening event. Open to the public, parents, coaches, athletes, anybody interested to see this new facility. It's really a state-of-the-art facility. A great photo gallery has been put together of local athletes. And, you know, five people walked in today and all five said, wow.
Just jaws on the floor.
Yeah, you get the wow factor when you walk in there. Yeah. But you can learn about our programs. You can talk to us about when is the right time for your child to train, how often they can train, our other services. If you're a coach and want to have us come out to do team nutrition or whatever, we can talk about that. But it's this Sunday from 12 to 8 o'clock at the IDE building, which is at 4660 South Hagedorn.
Right off campus.
Right off of campus, East Lansing.
Gotta love that, folks. And we'll also put it on our Facebook page. And hey, we'll be actually taking a trip out there and doing a video piece on Current Sports TV in the coming weeks. You do not want to miss that at all, folks. Joey, always a pleasure. Co-director of Spartan Performance. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Joey.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll be in touch. All right, folks, let's hit the first break. When we come back, we'll be talking a little Tigers. Again, you can weigh in on it. You know the number, 517-355-9527. Is it panic time for you Tigers fans? 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, that's a little Mrs. Doubtfire for you. How can you forget about that movie? You know, I believe Robin Williams was actually, I think Mrs. Doubtfire 2 was in the works, Alex, before, you know, of course, the tragic news that we heard yesterday. But man, oh man, I just couldn't believe it. Again, I was on Twitter watching TV, and I thought it was a sick joke. I'm sitting there like, okay, Robin Williams is not passed here. I clicked the link. And, you know, the publication was pretty, you know, it had a whole article on it. And I went on CNN.com and I turned to CNN. And that's when, you know, reality kind of set in. Sad stuff, man.
Yeah, four other movies projected to come out. And those will be memorable ones. Cherish.
Already filmed them. He's already. It's
four
done.
Set to release.
Oh, wow.
Four brand new movies. Yep.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And then, you know, just kind of puts in perspective. You never know what a person is going through. I mean, this is Robin Williams. I mean, when you see him on TV, he just had his vibrant personality. You know, he seemed happy all the time, but you just never know what sort of demons somebody is dealing with. So, hey, you could, you know, be here today and gone tomorrow in a blink of an eye. Hug somebody, you know, tell somebody you haven't talked to, you love them in a while. Tell somebody that you haven't seen in a while. Tell them you love them because you just never know. Life is too short, folks. Rest in peace to again, Robin Williams. Okay, well, let's get to our Top 5 Tuesday subject here on today's Current Sports. Man, oh, man, the Detroit Tigers have now relinquished their lead in the American League Central. They lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday on the road. And, hey, the hottest team in baseball, the Kansas City Royals, they pulled out now, eight straight. Eight straight and now have the lead in the AL Central by a half game. The Tigers now find themselves chasing instead of being the chase. And we are now asking you all to call in. It's our Top 5 Tuesday segment. Do you think it's panic time for the Tigers? And we're going to give you the top five reasons you should or should not panic over the Detroit Tigers. Oh, 5-4-3-2-1. I love that song. All right, well, here we go. I don't know what side you're going to take on this. I guess we should state our case right now, whether we are panicking or are not panicking. I am panicking.
I'm panicking too.
You are too, Alex. Yep. You're panicking as well. Yeah, I think when you look at how the Tigers have, you know, really, it's really kind of been kind of a roller coaster type of a season, as it is every. That's how a baseball season is. You know, we had the stretch where we saw the Tigers go 9-20, and we've seen them just be kind of down in the dumps. But we've seen some great outings from guys like Max Scherzer. We've seen the bats, you know, come to life at times. But this particular stretch, as the season winds down now, you know, it's about 40-something games left here in the season, about a quarter of the season left. This is when you got to start clicking. This is when you got to start showing that there's some sort of hope for you to not only make the playoffs, but to make a huge roar in the playoffs. Again, the expectations for this Detroit Tigers team are through the roof. Everyone is expecting them to win a World Series. If they don't, it will be a disappointment. And right now, they are not playing like a World Series team. So I guess both of us, we're taking, you know, the same side of this thing. It's panic time for the Tigers now. I guess we'll list our top five reasons on why it is panic time. Because I still feel those, you know, those diehard Tigers fans that are out there, you know, watching this team day in and day out, they still believe that this team can and will win a World Series. I don't know. It's highly doubtful for me, Alex.
Yeah. At first, I thought maybe we were being a little bit cynical yesterday.
And no, if I could rewind the tape of Current Sports last week, oh, you are cooler than the other side of the pillow, Alex. You were like, oh, this team is, they'll be fine. I'm not worried.
Well,
they'll be okay.
I said, just wait and see. Wait for the Blue Jays. I said, wait for the Blue Jays series.
But you weren't in panic mode. You
I wasn't cool. in panic.
You were, I would bring up certain points. You'd be like, oh, they'll be okay. And now it's looking bad. So I guess what you want to start this thing off with number five?
Yeah, sure.
Number five, for me, number five, the reason why Tigers fans and the Tiger community should be panicking, and I'll start off really lightly here. You just don't know how hot this Kansas City Royals team is, if they're going to continue. How because they're rolling right now. How long would this just stretch of dominance continue for the Kansas City Royals? Because they're rolling right now. They just made a move, I saw, to acquire Josh Willingham, who's an outfielder from the Minnesota Twins, to beef up that offense. So they're making moves right now. They know that they are in the driver's seat, and they're making moves to try and continue to be in that seat. And Kansas City, I mean, they're playing flawlessly right now. I mean, this is eight straight for them. Right now, you gotta, if you're a Tigers fan, the first reason you should panic right now is looking at your competition in that division. And Kansas City right now is showing no signs of letting up.
And you see, there are some people that won't even acknowledge Kansas City is good competition. Mm-hmm. People don't even think, I mean, your very own colleague, Rico Beard.
Oh, yeah, Rico.
He thinks it's a joke for Kansas City winning the division. But no, I mean, I think they're for real.
Yeah.
Billy Butler's been hitting great. Moustakas is coming around. Omar Infante, former Tiger, obviously a lot to prove after leaving Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot to prove on both sides now.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's looking like they're really going to make some noise and a lot closer than what some people may have thought.
Right, right. So was that your number five?
No.
My
number five is simply half of their dominant pitching, half of their star pitchers are out.
Right.
Honorable Sanchez out for multiple weeks. I said this yesterday. Joaquin Soria hasn't really proved himself a lot at all since he came over. Out. Now Justin Verlander. Out. And we heard Gabe Kapler talk yesterday, oh, between Price, Scherzer, and Porcello, they're still dominant. They're going to hold up. Tiger fans, don't even worry. They're still going to make the playoffs. I'm not so sold on it. And I wouldn't even be so sold that as well as Scherzer and Porcello have been pitching, if they're going to keep holding up and if the offense can match as well as they have been and really gel.
No, I agree. I mean, I went with that one number four. I think that's even higher on the list for me. The health, the overall health of the Tigers. You mentioned Anibal Sanchez. You mentioned Joaquin Soria. Justin Verlander goes out. Yeah, and you know, watching that yesterday when JV went out, I'm sitting there like, oh, that's when my panic meter really started blinking. When Justin Verlander went out. Now he will have an MRI in Detroit later today to see how serious that injury is. But when Justin Verlander left that mound, I'm just sitting there like, okay, this is not good. This is not good at all. And then I've always been saying this, you know, Miguel Cabrera is not healthy. I don't care how much he goes to the mics and addresses the media and says, hey, I'm fine, I'll be okay. Miguel Cabrera just does not look healthy right now. So just the overall health. The health of this team, when you got key guys out, like JV and Sanchez and you know, a guy who you acquired in a big trade who was supposed to beef up that bullpen, and Joaquin Soria, when you cannot depend on this team to be healthy as the season winds down into the postseason, that is very alarming. That's number four for me, the health of the Detroit Tigers. So what's number four for you, Alex?
All right, Al. My number four is that they have no permanent closer or secondary setup, man. No permanent closer. I mean, the fact that Joe Nathan blew the game against Pittsburgh,
yeah,
again, after we thought that he was on a roll, after fans and media personnel thought that he would be okay, hadn't blown a save in a while, He blows it again and doubts the credibility and consistency of a closer.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Soria, flawless over before he came over, high ERA to begin with the Tigers, threes and fours, not a permanent setup man. And you're going to rely on Jabba Chamberlain, a seasoned vet? Come on.
Yeah, Phil Koch is also in that mix who has played relatively solid.
But he's not a setup man.
Yeah, exactly. I see where you're going. But yeah, you can't rely on really anybody in that bullpen.
Your setup is Soria to Nathan.
Yeah. Yep.
That's your setup right now.
Yeah, the bullpen is certainly a glaring need. We've talked about that ever since the season began for the Tigers. We talked about it last year. We talked about it the year before that. They just have not really addressed that need, and that's certainly a glaring need. But for me, I'm going a different route with number three, though, here. So that's not your number four. Is basically the bullpen, basically, right? Or the setup, man.
Just a setup closer. I mean, that's
a setup closer. Yeah, so you're fine with the closers who come
well,
in?
That was their downfall last year in the playoffs. So I'm just focusing more on the closers here for relief.
Definitely. I agree. That's definitely a glaring need. I'll go number three now. That's your number four. Number three for me, I have to definitely address this. Brad Ausmus, Detroit Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, this being his first real year, handling such high expectations. He comes in, he's a young guy. This is his first manager role in the big leagues. And trying to handle, that could be a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on Brad Ausmus as a first-year manager here. He managed the Israel National Baseball Team back in the day. He was special assistant to baseball operations with the San Diego Padres, but he has never been just the head manager for a Major League Baseball team. And you come in, your first time, having to do it with the Detroit Tigers, a team who everyone is expecting before the season started to win a World Series, and now you're having this adversity.
Yeah, but has he made any huge mistakes so far?
Well, I'm just saying the reason why you should panic because he's a first year guy. I mean, how he handles this, I don't know.
Well, so is Eric Spoelstra in Miami.
Yeah, but that's different though. You got the best player in the world. LeBron James can coach that team.
You got the best player, Miguel Cabrera.
You need a manager in baseball. I would argue in NBA, you don't really need a head coach to be successful. I think LeBron James is more of a coach on that team than Eric Spoelstra is, if you ask me. I mean, if you go back to the days of, just a lot of the greats. I mean, basketball is a game where you're playing both ends. You don't have to rely on somebody else to win the game for you. You know what I mean? In baseball, you need somebody to manage that game. The manager role is very, very important. And having Brad Ausmus, this being his first year, we'll see how he handles adversity. I don't know. He could come out and handle this thing very superbly and make some moves. But right now, this being his first year handling such high expectation, I wonder if he's going to bust under the pressure of the pipes, or if that pressure is going to turn him into diamonds. His first year, though, that's a lot of pressure on him.
I see where you're getting at, but the Tigers have drastically improved in a lot of categories under Ausmus. Their base running—they've stolen three times more bases than they ever had under the Leland era. Aside from base running, I mean, how about his pitching? I mean, he's been able to pull pitchers out at the right time.
Alex, I understand that. But they find themselves down a half game to the Kansas City Royals.
And that's what I'm saying. Your number three point, it makes sense being his first-year coach.
And again, this is the reason why you should panic. This is his first year. I'm not certain. I'm not certain that he can handle this adversity. I don't know. That's a question mark for me. Number two, it kind of hits on hope for me. Where does the hope come from for this Detroit Tigers team? When you look at this Tigers team, Alex, what can you harp on that gives you hope and confidence that this team is going to pull out and win the American League Central and even make the playoffs? What area are you comfortable and really, really, what area on this team are you really, you just look at and say, okay, they're going to be fine. Right now, there is no area on this team
that
you can look at and say, okay, the Tigers are going to be okay. There's a lot of glaring just question marks on this team for me. There's not one position on this team, not one facet on this team right now that I'm confident in. And that's a big need
for
me.
That's your number two?
That's number two for me. So you got to give me your three and two.
All right, my number three was going off what you said. Miguel Cabrera just isn't the same hitter. I mean, grounding into double plays like we saw last week to end a game with the bases loaded had a chance to make some damage. His strikeouts are more high than they ever have been. It's just not the same Miguel Cabrera that I remember.
Yeah.
So Miggy.
Miggy's
two,
three.
Number two for me. They are third place in the wild card standings. So if the season were end today, if the Royals take the division, they're still 4.5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah.
Against two teams. So even if they lose the division, there's no shot in the hell, Al, that they're making the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's division or bust.
Right. I exactly. I agree. And that's
a huge – I mean, it wasn't like before back in – I think it was 08 when the Twins came up with that magical year, took the division by storm, down 10 games. Tigers still got in the playoffs with the wild card.
Right.
There's no second chance here.
Right. I agree. Yeah. And that's very alarming too. I mean, they have to win this division. They have to pull out this division to make the playoffs. And then, you know, once they're in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs – that's another discussion. I can't believe we're having this discussion in the first place. It seems as though, you know, a month or two ago, the Tigers had a comfortable lead in the AL Central. And, you know, we weren't having this discussion. And now the fact that we're even having this discussion is just, it blows my mind. Number one for me, the cold bats for me. The bats go silent way too often.
I mean, six runs, that's not too bad.
Yeah, but still, they go cold way too often. They have to rely on that starting pitching so much. It's become just... especially looking at this outing where they now are, you know, they're the chaser now, you know? They are the team that is trying to salvage some sort of momentum and trying to get something together. There's no point of hope for this team right now that I can look at and say, okay, the Tigers are going to be fine. And the fact that the bats go cold way too often, and now you have Miguel Cabrera who's not, you know, batting great. I went through yesterday the multiple guys at bat who are batting around 100 in the last now 8 days. I mean, it's just really, really a glaring sore that needs a Band-Aid on it ASAP. So for me, number one is the cold bats.
I see that. My number one, there are only 46 games left.
Yeah.
1/4 of the season to go. And the teams they play, it's not like they're playing fifth place teams. The Tampa Bay Rays, the Seattle Mariners, what you think back 2 years ago were last place, now are second and third place.
Right.
Looking at the other team, I mean, Pittsburgh, that's not a bad team, second place team. You're looking at division teams. You play Kansas City for 6 games. You play the White Sox. You play the Twins. As much as the division is horrible, those are all teams very capable of beating the Tigers. So there's no easy shoo-in. You're not playing the Astros for 4 games. You're not playing the Rockies. These are all tough games, Al. There's no guaranteed wins from here on out. So for me, that's number one. And it could be looked as a positive. Yeah, well, they have 46 games left. There's plenty of time. They're only 0.5 back. But if anything, I'm a little cynical here because there are 46 games left. You don't have time to iron out all your kinks.
No, time.
This is it.
Yeah, time is certainly running out right now.
This is when you're supposed to be rolling.
Right. This is the time when you're supposed to be playing some of your best baseball and really showing validation that you belong in the playoffs, and the Tigers just aren't doing that right now. It's very alarming. I don't know if the Tigers are going to get out this slump. I still stand by. I think somehow, some way, they're going to win this division, man. I still think so. You know, even though I'm going through the 5 reasons why Tigers fans should be panicking, I think, you know, this pressure is going to allude to a diamond, at least with them winning the division. Now, once they make the playoffs, I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm not confident the Tigers are going to win the World Series, looking at how they've been playing, looking at the makeup of this team, looking at the health of this team. But I do think they will get it together, but it's got to happen ASAP. It's got to happen like today. It's got to happen today. And I'm hoping that this JV injury isn't serious, too serious. We'll see what the MRI comes back. But you talk about your two guys. I mean, Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera. Looking at two years ago, even last year. I mean, they are household names in baseball. That was a one time where Justin Verlander was looked at as the best pitcher in baseball, and Miguel Cabrera is certainly looked at in many people's eyes as the best hitter in baseball. And you got both of those guys not 100%. That is alarming.
Right.
That is alarming.
And I mean, how about the fact that the Tigers, aside from the cold bats, I mean, look at all the rookies from Suarez, Ezequiel Carrera. I mean, let's say for hypothetically, Jose Iglesias comes back in the playoffs and he's ready to play.
Right.
Do you take him out for Suarez? Is that something the Tigers will be willing to risk, even if he's not 100%?
That comes down to Brad Ausmus. I don't know. That's a move that's going to be definitely on his shoulders.
I would put him in.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. You know, right now you got to try anything. You know, you got to try anything just to see what works, you know, hoping for something. But, you know, another thing is that we didn't talk about, Alex, is attitude for this team. I've been watching the press conferences after games with this team, and it just seems so nonchalant at times, especially you talk about Joe Nathan. Last week, Joe Nathan, you know, when he blew that save, I mean, Joe Nathan just approached the media like, okay, you know, I'm going to be fine. You know, it's okay. You know, I remember a reporter brought up the question about the fans, you know, saying, okay, what's going on, Joe? What's going on here with this bullpen? What's happening? He's like, okay, we'll be fine. We'll be okay. I'm not worried about it. I'll be fine. I'll go home. I'll be, you know, I'll come back the next day fine. When you say something like that, sometimes it can come across that you just don't care.
Right.
Sometimes, like, you just like, okay, it, you know, I didn't have a good outing here, but hey, I you know, I'm still going home. I'll be back the next day. I still have a job.
We saw it for MSU when receivers were often asked, how do you feel about dropping all the balls?
Right.
They're
not saying,
I'll be fine. You know, they're like, of course it gets in my head.
It's alarming. Right. They're being honest. But this team, when you say we'll be okay, it just kind of comes off across that, you know, you just kind of don't care. And the attitude has to change for this team if they're going to start winning games, and it has to start right now. So we'll see. Again, if you want to weigh in on it, folks, our number is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll talk a little golf and Rory McIlroy's impact on the game today. Don't go anywhere. We'll return in just a sec. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. Yeah, that's music from Jumanji right there. Definitely remember that. That movie was certainly a big part of, I'm sure, both of our childhoods, Alex. Oh, man. Again, we're playing music from some of Robin Williams' most famous films, as, of course, Robin Williams sadly took his own life yesterday. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. Okay, well, let's talk a little golf. Rory McIlroy, we kind of alluded to this yesterday, didn't really get to it, but Rory McIlroy, I tell you what, Alex, he is certainly rolling. He is the hottest golfer in the game right now. We haven't seen a stretch of golf like this since Tiger Woods back in his prime in about 2006 when Tiger won three straight. Rory has now done just that. He's won his second major of this year. He's quickly becoming the new face of golf. And what I like about it, Alex, is he's not shying away. When he was asked about in his presser, Rory approached the podium and asked whether or not he likes being the new face of golf, if he likes being that guy and having that target on his back. He said, yeah, I like it. You know, if I'm the new face of golf, I'm embracing that. I love it. He's a kid who's young. He's 25 years old. He's got an athletic build. The way he plays the golf is fearless. He's so cool, calm, and collected on the course. He is quickly becoming that guy. Right now, he is right now definitely the face of golf. My mom was asking about him as I was watching the tournament over the weekend in Detroit. She even knows his name now. She liked his polo shirt. His Nike is endorsing him. He's looking pretty fly over the weekend. People are starting to know who Rory McIlroy is. He is becoming a household name in the world of golf. I will say this, though. Even though Rory's going to be the man for years and years to come now, and if he keeps it up, and he's showing no signs of slowing down, he's not pushing the brakes at all, he's pushing the gas full throttle right now, it won't be like the Tiger effect. I just want to say that because, you know, when we talked about it, Tiger Woods, when Tiger, what made Tiger so different is that Tiger, he would blow guys out. I mean, Tiger would win by 9, 10, sometimes 11 strokes in a tournament.
But Rory,
you know,
was up, you know.
Yeah, but
Phil,
it wasn't like he was blowing these guys. I mean, Phil, Henrik Stenson, Ernie Els, those guys still had a chance to compete and possibly win that tournament over the weekend. Tiger would just blow you out. And the fact is, this is how it is. Tiger Woods being multiracial, being both Asian and also African American, he drew a bigger fan base. You know, the African American community would go out into the course just because they want to be the next Tiger Woods, and vice versa. He hit on Rory can't do that, and that's not his fault. You know what I mean? That's just the reach that Tiger had that Rory just won't be able to have throughout his career. But that being said, Rory McIlroy, you know, if you're a golf fan, if you're a fan of the PGA Tour, you got to have a smile on your face, at least a smirk of just his dominance and you know, the fans that he is bringing to the game.
Yeah, and like you said, it may not be the same effect as Tiger. You may not see him with the Nike on front page of Nike, and you might not see.
Well, he will, because he's with Team Nike. But
might,
yeah,
you might not see Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. You know, you might not see of the video games. You may not see him at the ESPYs. You know, being Athlete of the Year. But like you said, yeah, he's definitely come up in the game of golf, and that's what it needed. I remember last summer around this time, you and I both agreed that the game of golf needs someone after Tiger Woods.
Young is the key word
and
here,
the
too.
Same with boxing, because the game of boxing needs someone after Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Golf has found its new coming. Boxing has not yet. But for Rory's case, yeah, I mean, back-to-back-to-back, fourth youngest. I mean, you see the names among the greats there. I mean, undoubtedly, he will be great. He will be great. I cannot see him faltering after this year. I don't see this as a fluke year.
No, he's showing it, man. You know, it is, and looking at how he's winning, just kind of analyzing Rory's game, this is kind of how Rory McIlroy plays. He is so good off the tee. You know, his distance off the tee averages around 300 yards.
And that's a characteristic
yards.
that Tiger had.
Great
half.
But the thing is
Nicholas too.
Yeah, and this is the thing that's a little different, though, when you look at Tiger, though. If you remember, back in Tiger's heyday, Tiger was, I mean, he would bomb it off the tee, but his accuracy was kind of everywhere. You know, he wouldn't, you know, hit all the fairways. You know, his fairway accuracy off the tee wasn't superb. But the thing that made Tiger so great was he was just flawless with his irons. Tiger's accuracy with his irons is arguably the greatest of all time. I mean, it was unbelievable. And that's the thing with Rory. It kind of mimics Tiger's game. I mean, but the thing about Rory is he's accurate off the tee. He's going to get his ball in the fairway off the tee. It's going to be a long drive. And his accuracy over those four rounds, especially this PGA Championship, his accuracy with his irons was so dead on accurate. It was unbelievable watching his iron play this weekend. I mean, it made me just go in the backyard and just fine-tune some of my stuff. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then the fact that he hit clutch putting. When he needed a putt, when he needed to save par, whether he needed to separate himself from a field and hit a birdie.
The big eagle.
Exactly. Then he had that eagle. Exactly. Rory, he rose up in the moment. He didn't crunch into a little ball and give the other competition a chance. He rose to the occasion and made that putt. And that's what Tiger did back in the day. That's how Tiger Woods was. That eye of the tiger, you know, so to speak. Rory has that, and I think he's going to have it. He's only going to get better.
Right. Especially with the irons, like you said. He was dead on with his irons. That's something that Tiger was great at. Rory, we haven't seen too much of his iron game yet. We've seen him with his drives are all down the fairway.
Was superb, though, with his iron play this weekend.
Well,
he was unbelievable.
Aside from this weekend, we haven't seen much of his iron play that deadly during the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to see if that holds up. Maybe if he can match that aspect of Tiger's game, but totally agreed. Rory's exploding. Amazing that he held off, rising to the occasion for a guy like Phil,
right,
who is successful down the clutch.
Right.
That shows a lot.
Really quickly, Alex, do you think Tiger deserves to be on that Ryder Cup team?
Absolutely. He's still Tiger Woods, for goodness sake.
Gotcha.
You don't?
I do. I know. I agree. I thought you were going to take the affront.
No.
Now, looking at his play, Tiger doesn't deserve to be on that team.
Right.
Not at all. There's other golfers who deserve to be on that team. Tiger has played poorly. Poorly. He can't even stay healthy, for goodness sake. Tiger Woods has played poorly. He doesn't deserve to be on the team, but he should be on the team just for the popularity of golf.
And you're not choosing him to win a major. I mean, you're not choosing him to win. I mean, he's not going to be the leading
scorer
at the club.
You're choosing because you're trying to bring eyeballs to the team. You're trying to, because sometimes Ryder Cup gets hit, you know, a lot because people don't want to watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but although the last 2 years, Tiger still has been up somewhat in the leaderboard. It's not like he's been dead last all the time. He still can perform well.
Right.
You're just hoping that when he plays at the Cup, that it will be a good performance.
And his team play, that's a different monster all in itself. But I do think he will be a part of that team this upcoming season. So we'll see. Hopefully he is. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. But, hey, you know, if you still want to weigh in on our discussion here on Current Sports, you can go to Facebook.com/Current Sports and leave us a comment there or tweet me on Al Martin, WKAR. Thanks so much to Joey Eisenman, the co-director of Spartan Performance, that will be having its grand opening this Sunday, August 17th, 12 to 8 p.m. at the Eyde Building. Exciting stuff. Thanks a lot for Joey for joining me on today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Join us same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And, hey, be easy, people.